our man Sebi Salazar is still with the Little League World Series, but don't fret, the DP is back. Mau, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Again, like we said on Thursday, I always think of Sebi as a big leaguer.
Right.
He is our very own big leaguer, bro. He's doing an amazing job, as always, in Williamsport. Plenty to talk about. This is an important week, Herc. The game is finally here. Major League Soccer stars versus Liga MX stars. And we have a fantastic guest today. I believe he's a friend of yours, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's a friend. You know who it is?
I know who he is.
It's the best goalkeeper in Liga MX over the last 10 years. It's Nahuel Guzman.
El Patón Guzman.
El Patón.
Will join us a little bit later on the show. Remember, you can also download Football America's podcast. It's dropping tomorrow, so make sure to check it out as well. But let's get started, because there's a bit of a head scratch for U.S. men's national team coach Greg Berhalter with recent news. Christian Pulisic tested positive for COVID-19. He posted on Instagram he has no symptoms, is fully vaccinated, but per government protocols, he has to be isolated for 10 days. He missed the game against Arsenal. Chelsea, by the way, won that game easily. And Jazzy's artist, also out. Columbus Crew confirmed he has a soft tissue injury and will be sidelined between 2 and 4 weeks. The CONCACAF Octagonal kicks off September 2nd. The U.S. men's national team will play at El Salvador, then hosting Canada, and then visiting Honduras. Herc, how big of a loss is this for the team?
It's a huge loss. Let me start off with Giassi really quickly.
Yep.
And I'll get him out of the way before we talk about Christian. But Giassi, regardless of what you think about Giassi, whether it's a sloppy touch, whether he's MLS and then what is attached there, he's the most productive nine. It's that simple. He's your most productive nine in a pool of nines that's not been very productive. Nobody has really stood out from the rest of the pack. So this one's going to hurt because Greg gave him a lot of chances, and he's played a lot with Greg. So you know that Greg values and trusts him. Now, Christian Pulisic is the face of the U.S. men's national team. Christian Pulisic is coming off a career year where he won the Champions League, where he won the Supercopa, where he's scoring goals coming off the bench or starting, where he's been a productive player. The CONCACAF Nations League versus Mexico, where he also scored a goal. It's a career year for him. And to have this happen right now, right before qualifiers, and we don't know the timeline.
Exactly.
We don't know if he'll be available
That's
for that first game. We don't know what the capacity of that will be. So this is a huge impact. It impacts the way you can play. It impacts maybe the morale of the team, now knowing that your best player won't be there, a leader on this team, a captain on this team. So, yeah, it's a huge impact.
So let's just remember this. Each international break will consist of 3 games.
Correct.
And rosters can consist up to 25 players, right? So you do have some options. And let's focus on Christian Pulisic. And just let's try to picture the next scenario. If he's not available, then who's up next? Who takes his place?
That has to be next man up, correct? And it's a very inexperienced international player in Brendan Aaronson. But Brendan Aaronson has been so good for you lately. Brendan Aaronson has been good in whatever competition you play him in. He's 20 years of age. He's already got 3 goals, 3 assists on the U.S. men's national team. He's scoring goals as of late versus Barcelona in Champions League qualifying. He seems to be in a good moment, and he seems to be a player that's not fazed by the moments. Productive anywhere you put him on the field. And he's a guy that can come in for Christian and do a good job in a very difficult element, because you got to remember, you're playing 2 of the 3 games away. And he seems like a player that doesn't mind rolling up his sleeves, but has the technicality, has the technical savvy, has the attributes to where there's a chance, a possibility in front of the net. You feel confident about him putting that away.
Okay, so I want to ask you this question as well, because with Christian Pulisic, he gives you many options. He's obviously a goal scorer, but you can play him from the wings as well.
Yeah.
So what do you think Greg Berhalter's best option is, just in terms of if Christian Pulisic is not around, if he's not available? Is he missing his goal scorer? Is he missing a facilitator, goal creator?
Everything.
So it's just not a clear-cut answer. Oh, yeah, this guy subs in if Pulisic is missing out. So you mentioned Aaronson. Is there someone else you want to add to that list?
Well, you can add a Gio Reyna moving centrally. That's
right.
What you could do. And then you could put Brendan Aaronson there. But it's got to be by committee. You're going to have to share that load. nobody can do really what Christian Pulisic can do. Nobody can offer all the certain facets of his game like Christian Pulisic. So it has to be by committee. But the U.S. men's national team doesn't have that global superstar. Very rarely do countries have that global superstar, that Messi, that Ronaldo, that Lukaku that you know will change games by himself. So it's going to be by committee anyways. And especially if the two of the three games are on the road, are away in hostile confines. One of the good things for the U.S. men's national team is that first game in El Salvador, because of the COVID protocols, there are actually going to be no fans in that stadium. So that could be a big plus to for a lot of these players who haven't played in that type of setting.
Okay, so let's go to the games. And let me take out my calculator. I have a calculator right here. Let's just, again, bring this scenario. No Pulisic around for the U.S. men's national team. How many points can I pencil the team in for those three games?
Without seeing... Without seeing what is the 25-man roster.
Yeah.
Is that what they're going to do, 25 men?
25 men.
Okay, without seeing the 25-man roster, I would say 6 points would be great. Anything above six points would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. That should be the goal because you assume in El Salvador with no crowd against a team that's under remake, even though they've been very good under Hugo Perez, you can win. It's a very winnable game. But then you're going to go play in Honduras. And I've seen with my own eyes European players like Timmy Chander melt under the Honduran sun. I've seen how difficult it could be playing in those conditions with the fan base right on top of you, with the grass coming to your knees. It's not an easy place to play. So let's assume you drop points there. You drop it and you don't win. Canada.
And always the first game is tough, right?
Yes.
Always the first game is a little questionable for
Canada,
so many reasons.
Canada in Nashville, Canada is my dark horse in the octagonal. They're such a very good team. They can really cause some problems. We've seen how good they can be this Gold Cup before, the good players they have. Imagine if they have Alphonso Davies. Imagine if they have
Jonathan well.
David, Buchanan, you know, Cavallini, Kyle Larin. The list goes on and on. They're going to be a very difficult team to handle.
But that's a W.
The should and coulds, I mean, you should be in a World Cup. You weren't. If the national team, the U.S. men's national team goes 1-1-1 with 4 points, that's terrible, right? But I'm not completely surprised. That's the issue here.
Okay, so I like the 6-point prediction. I think it should be 6 points at least. You can drop a game. If you drop a game either in Honduras or El Salvador, happens to everyone. Just go back and ask Mexico how many points they have dropped. Or when was the last time? They won under Juan Carlos Osorio.
Right.
But before that, it was
years,
like,
right?
Like 16 years without winning there. Hopefully, Christian Pulisic will be in good condition to come and play. Now, let's go back to France. Very, very disturbing scenes at a game between Nice and Olympique Marseille. Actually, Conrad de la Torre
Fuente
earned a corner kick. And look at what happened to Dimitri Payet. A fan threw a bottle at him. He throws it back at the stands. And then, Herc, it's just chaos. Fights all over the place. Fans into the pitch. Security guards unable to control the situation. The game had to be first postponed, but Ligue 1 wanted and actually ordered the game to resume. Olympique Marseille, and rightfully so, they said there are no guarantees. Our safety is not guaranteed. So they forfeited the match. When you see these scenes, and let's not forget, this is the league that is going to attract a lot of new fans because Lionel Messi plays for Paris Saint-Germain. This is Jorge Sampaoli, Olympique de Marseille manager. What do you make of what happened yesterday in France?
So Conrad de la Fuente actually won that corner. And I think this all is his fault because he's so good at skinning people and earning things in the final third. This is what Conrad does. Speaking honestly and seriously, I just, about a week ago, come off seeing that Netflix special, Untold, the Malice in the Palace. And for those fans that don't know, you're too young, in the early 2000s, Detroit played the Pacers in an NBA game, and a fan launched a drink at Ron Artest, a basketball player, and then this player went into the stands, and a full-fledged fight broke out. The same thing here happened. It could have been much worse. The capacity at that stadium is like 36,000. Mm-hmm. How do you control 36,000 people trying to come onto the field? You saw very little security there.
Yeah.
You saw the security guards trying to do what they could, but there were still fans and players having altercations. Now, if you follow us on social media, you've seen the photos, the images of the Olympique players who were pretty badly injured.
Yeah.
I mean, it was drinks, it was punches, it was kicks, it was other material thrown at him. And this isn't the first time it's happened. These ultras are out of control, and they should be in some shape, way, or form reprimanded.
So when we ask the question, who's at fault? Obviously, there's a lot of people who have a responsibility when something like this happens. But the fact that a fan was able to throw a bottle at a player and then a group of fans storming the pitch, obviously security has to be at fault for not being able to control that. But then we also saw what happened with Olympique Marseille coaching staff, not only Jorge right. Sampaoli, instead of trying to control things, to calm players down, they were still trying to fight either fans or players from Nice. So heavy punishments are on their way because someone has to be made an example of what happened. We cannot see those scenes. And we've seen it in soccer. We've seen it in basketball. We've seen it in baseball. Now that the fans returned to the stadiums, there's something going on, but that needs to be under control.
You can't be an idiot. If you're a fan, just don't be an idiot. I go back to this Netflix, Malice in the Palace. They should have prosecuted that fan. This all starts because the fan assaults a player. Now, once the fans are in the court or on the field, these players go into survival mode. You're just seeing this chaos go around. You have no idea what's going to happen. You think you're fighting for your life type of thing. It's terrible. I agree. Terrible scenes. But you have to put the onus on security, on the fans. These players, if you want to fine them, fine. I'm sure they will take the fine over something really bad happening.
Yeah, in any case, it's bad. Just again, let's just remember, Lionel Messi, one of the most important players in history, is going to be a part of this league very, very soon. Let's run it back. We have good action coming out of German's third division. This is Terence Boyd for Hallesche FC. Look at the moves and then the finish for the game winner.
You know, Terence is still a very young guy. I love the celebration, little tattoo celebration, a la Pulisic. He's a young guy trying to get back, get healthy, lots of knee injuries. He was with me in the national team, good guy, and I'm glad to see him still scoring goals.
Yeah, good move, by the way. See that? Going to his left, and then with a great finish in Germany. Mexicanos in action. Good news. Chucky Lozano made his season debut, came coming off the bench, played 20 minutes. He looked good, Herc, after his head injury during the Gold Cup.
Yeah, that very bad neck injury, also nasty cut above his right eye. And he was involved in this goal. Look at him driving down the heart of the attack. And then right here, fortunate, yes, but still involved, still very dangerous, very vertical. This is what he does. He causes danger.
Yeah, look quick. Again, only 20 minutes, but the timeline was actually better than we thought it was going to be after we saw that very, very had collision during the Gold Cup. So good news for Chucky Lozano. Also good news for El Lobo Mexicano. Raul Jimenez completed another 90 minutes. Wolves are not doing well, and Raul actually missed a couple of chances. But the good news is he's looking healthy, and it's looking like he's going to be called up by Tata Martino for the World Cup qualifiers.
A few reports out of Mexico that he will be called up for the next qualifiers, the World Cup qualifiers. Raul Jimenez looks healthier every time we see him. And we're not the only ones who think that. We're not the only ones who are happy to see him back.
Rubber Plant. Oh, it's just the lead vocal for the best rock and roll band in the world in history, Led Zeppelin, back at last. If I'm Raul Jimenez, I'm framing that tweet and that goes straight to my living room. Good to see the shout out. And also, back in action, also making his season debut, Tecatito Corona. Caught between rumors of a transfer first to Sevilla and now to AC Milan, finally played 20 minutes at the 1-1 draw, Porto at Marítimos. Look at that pitch, not in the best condition, but again, still some days to go in the transfer window. Not completely sure if Tecatito will be a Porto player by the end of it.
He's caught in a very difficult position. That man right there, Sergio de Conceição, his coach, not happy that they can't use him, not happy that they're trying to sell him. Here's the thing, he's 29 years old and they're asking for $13 million, and so far, not a lot of takers. A lot of rumors, but not a lot of takers.
And that AC Milan rumor seems like it's coming from Tecatito's agent than an actual interest by AC Milan. So going back to national team play and the upcoming qualifiers, that is the Tridente, Yeah. Los tres grandes, Tecatito, Chucky, y Raúl. Do you expect them to start against first game versus Jamaica?
You know, this is funny because a couple of weeks ago, our producer, Beto, brought up the possibility of Raúl being called up. And Sebastian and I were like, no, you're crazy. There's no way he called up. Have you seen him in the preseason?
Never call a producer crazy, please. What? Never again.
Never.
Lesson learned.
But, but he ended up being right. Now we're hearing reports of him being called up, and now we're talking about, will he start? If you're Tata Martino, think about the three games you have. You've got Jamaica at home, then you're going away to, what is it? You're going away to...
It's Jamaica at home, right?
Yes.
And then they're playing Canada at home, right?
Thank you, yes.
So those, by the way, the game against Jamaica, no
closed door
fans at Estadio Azteca.
Costa Rica away. There
Costa
we go.
Rica
so
away.
You're going Jamaica at home, and you're thinking, closed doors, it's going to be easier for him. Maybe the altitude will cost him, but I don't want to start him in his first time in Costa Rica. Hostile environment, very difficult game. And then I don't want to play him the next game because I may need points. So if it's Panama, I may need those points. I may need a result. I don't want to put the onus of him. So the safest game for him to play is the first game. And you know everybody wants to see Raúl Jiménez. Tata Martino will be under so much pressure to put Raúl Jiménez in that starting lineup because he's playing in the Premier League, because of the level he was at before that unfortunate accident back in November with David Luiz. So I expect him to play, yes, and I expect him to start the first game.
I expect Raúl at least to start for one main reason. Again, the number nine position, Rogelio Funes Mori looked okay. Was he decisive? Was he clinical? No, he was not. And you can have a player not being clinical, not being at his best during Nations League or during Gold Cup. You cannot allow yourself to start slow at the CONCACAF octagonal. So you need your best players, or you need your players in best form, best shape. I do wonder about Raúl Jiménez because head injuries, going to Mexico City's altitude, the long travel, it's never easy, but again, it's also a tough decision for Tata Martino. He's going to want those 3 points very bad, and that is his best number nine.
Do you remember 2014 under De La Torre?
Chepo, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember who they started off the qualification process versus?
Was it Jamaica as well?
Jamaica.
Yeah. And that was a very complicated process.
It was a tie.
Chepo De La Torre ended up losing his job. By the way, remember who guaranteed a spot for Mexico before the Graham Zuzi goal? Raúl Jiménez with that bicycle kick.
Costa Rica.
Against Panama.
Was it Panama?
Panama. At Estadio Azteca.
That's right.
But yeah, also question mark with Tecatito Corona because of his future. It wouldn't be the first time that he misses action deciding his future, staying home and trying to figure out his future. It happened to him 4 years ago. Hopefully history won't repeat itself and Tecatito Corona will be available for the Mexican national team.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's go back to CONCACAF, Liga MX, and specifically Chivas and Rayados de Monterrey. Week 6, scoreless draw between Monterrey and Chivas. But Herc, the big topic, Victor Manuel Bucetich. Is his job in jeopardy? Third game in a row, Chivas not scoring. Fourth game in a row, not winning a game.
They've only won one game this season against Juarez, and you know how terrible Juarez has been this season.
Oh, yeah.
They've only scored 4 goals going forward, very little creativity. It's a team that's supposed to be a gigante in Mexico, un equipo grande, but they don't play like that. And should we be surprised? Look at the last 4 years, full seasons. They've not finished higher than 7th place. Normally on the outside looking in, I say full seasons because when the pandemic started, 10 games into the season, they were 5th place, and then they stopped the season. They still had 7 games to go, so yeah. We don't know how it would have ended up. But normally, they're on the outside looking in, and the best they finished in 4 years is 7th place. So this is who they are. This is Chivas in a nutshell, and if it's not going to be Ricardo Peláez, because he's certainly not going to leave before Bucetich, it's going to be Victor Manuel Bucetich.
And my campaign, my hashtag, Vergara vende a Chivas. I'm Mauri Vergara, the owner. Please sell Chivas. It's not going anywhere. I'm not getting any support, not even by her. So, here's the question. If his time is up at Chivas, let's remember, international breaks are actually a good time. I'm not saying it's a good time for someone to lose his job, but for clubs, if they want to make a change, this is actually when things do happen.
This is what happened last time.
This is what happened last time, exactly. And there are some reports by our ESPN reporters in Guadalajara. Jimmy Lozano, the manager at the Olympic Games for the Mexican team, he's in line for that job. So who should be the next manager if Buse actually loses his place?
You could do much worse than Jaime Lozano. Jimmy Lozano. Jimmy Lozano is a very young coach. And we talk about Mexican football and how they don't give these young Mexican coaches a chance. How they're always stale. They go back and recycle and refilter the same coaches on and on and on. And they don't give these guys a chance. Well, give him a chance if that's it. He's a guy right now with a lot of credit, a lot of equity.
Had a few time at Querétaro already.
Very brief time, 4 years ago at Querétaro. He had 35, 36 games at Querétaro. It didn't go that well. He was first-time coach. 4 years later, he's got a lot of equity built up for what he did with that national team. By the way, Uriel Antuna, he was there. Alexis Vega, he was the best player for Mexico at the Olympics. They're at Chivas.
Nene Beltran.
Yeah. Cervantes. He's got a young core of players that he can build, that he can mold. And we know what to expect of Chivas because of the limitations on them. They only use Mexican players.
Yep.
It's a different market for them. Jaime Lozano understands this. Jaime Lozano gives these young players a chance, and it's a very attractive brand for the fans. So you could do worse than Jaime Lozano.
Let me stop you right there. Because I agree, Chivas should look into Jaime Lozano to be their new manager. He's the hot manager right now. He actually quit the national team looking for a better opportunity. Now, here's my question for you, Hercules Gomez. Is this actually a good opportunity for Jimmy Lozano? Is Chivas attractive enough for a manager this hot? Because if it's not Chivas, it's not going to happen with Cruz Azul or America, but he can actually just relax, sit down, and just balance his options. Is Chivas really a good option for Jaime Lozano and his future?
It feels like a trap situation
for
him, right? But better or worse, you take it if you're Jaime Lozano because of the risk-reward. Let's say it doesn't go well. Well, you're like one of the last six.
Who's done well, right?
It hasn't gone well. But if it does, all you need to do is have it go well for you once, and you're legendary at Chivas, a massive club. Look at Pelado Almeida. Look at Matias Almeida right now, who's with San Jose. He had more bad seasons than good seasons.
Yeah.
But he left us a lasting impression because who he was and what they did win in that time. He's a legend at Chivas. That could be Jaime Lozano. And Jaime Lozano's got so much upside right now. The risk-reward is in his favor. Better or worse, I'd do this if I'm Jaime Lozano.
There was also another report by one of our ESPN reporters that one of the reasons why Jimmy Lozano decided not to coach anymore at the under-23 level was he was looking for an opportunity similar to what happened to Nacho Ambriz in a second division club in Spain. So here's my other question for you. What's more attractive, to coach in Spain's second division or be the new manager of Chivas?
I don't know if the question is attractive, but more important.
Okay.
For him, probably second division, because if you do well there, the jump is higher. You cast your net in a different way than if you do well at Chivas. You do well at Chivas, you're a big fish in a small pond. You do well there, all of a sudden, you're in the sea. You're in the big wide ocean, and the possibilities are endless. And I'm sure that's what he wants to do. That's the great thing about this new generation of not only Mexican players, but these young Mexican coaches who want to test themselves at the highest of levels.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens at Chivas. Again, international break coming up. That might be the end for El Buse, Victor Manuel Bucetich.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Major League Soccer action, the way we do it at Football America's The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Bob Valentino, hey, 4-game winning streak with Jaime Lozano looking from the Swede, and another victory for Atlanta.
You call Rob Bob? Your homies with them right there.
Yeah.
Bobby.
I like calling him Bobby. Bobby Valentino.
8 games in charge, and the confidence was key of what he changed. A terribly run team. He had players praying with freedom. He brought the swagger back to Atlanta. Barco and Moreno, your big players, responding like big players. Barco, by the way, playing like I've probably never seen him. Joseph Martinez got angry, and you let the tiger out of the cage. 4 goals under you. It's a different Atlanta team. And if I'm Gonzalo Pineda, I'm sending this man a case of beer.
Oh, yeah, at least. So Gabby Haynes, it was a problem, right? The bad Houston Dynamo, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Winless streak now up to 14 games. Last in the standings, Western Conference standings, only 19 points. It's not looking great for Tap Ramos' team.
I mean, the crazy thing is they've tied 10 times this season. Yeah. 10 ties. You can tell how bad a team is, not only by the record and the winning streak, but look at the DP situation, designated player situation. They've got a guy named Teenage Hadebe, a central defender from Zimbabwe who's reportedly earning more than $1 million a season. If you spend over $1 million a season on a defender in Major League Soccer, you are crazy. And where is Darwin Quintero, your other DP? Where is he?
Who? Who?
189 minutes he's played.
The Ugly, LAFC, they lose again. I don't know if the uglier is the fact that Carlos Vela left the game early. Another injury at the 16th minute mark.
Wow. Lose again. They're winless in now 7. Here's the worst part. They've dropped points in 8 home games this year. Bank of California, and you know this, Mauricio, because you're from here in Los Angeles, you've gone to plenty of games. It used to be a fortress. It used to be a place where it was very difficult to get results if you were an opponent. It's not like that anymore. You have to ask, what is going on? Why is it gone from bad to ugly in Los Angeles?
Yeah, so is it a roster thing? Because there have been many, many, many roster changes recently, players coming and going, or... is it Bob Bradley?
Yeah.
Is it time to consider that Bob Bradley is in the hot seat?
Now, let me tell you why the production and Mauricio look this way when they ask the question. They know I have a soft spot for Bob Bradley because of the respect I have for Bob Bradley, being coached by Bob Bradley. In a proper footballing culture, this wouldn't be a question. Bob Bradley would most likely be gone. But we're not in a proper footballing culture. We're in Major League Soccer. And in Major League Soccer, we're at the halfway mark. And nobody loses or gets fired at the halfway mark with that resume. And that's a reality. Now, beyond the coaching, I ask myself, and you brought this up, the roster.
Yeah.
What is going on that your pillars, your strength, the players should be mainstays, never stay. They end up leaving. We can go back and look at the list of Beta Shores, Walker Zimmermans, of the goalie situation, of Laurent Simon, who was your captain, of players who have been there like Benny Fallhaber, Lee Wynn, and the list goes on and on and on. Anthony Kay, you think you should be building around these players, and it's not. So I ask, what is going on in LAFC? What is going on with John Thorington, Bob Bradley, the coaching staff, where these players aren't staying?
Yep.
That's what I want to know.
And there were also some executives leaving the club. So it's at every single level in instability right now. And it's weird because this seemed like everything you wanted from a new club, right? Good ownership, good management, great coach, fantastic players.
Yeah.
But somehow, things are not clicking right now. I wonder what our good friend Sebastian Salazar, what his answer would be to this question. Is Bob Bradley on the hot seat? What do you think? Should he be on the hot seat?
Well, I just answered. In a proper footballing culture, he should be on the hot seat. Here's the thing. He's got the resume. He's got the equity built up for what they've done in Los Angeles in their brief history. And they are, with a game in hand, 3 points out of that playoff line. It's the midway point. And trust me, I've been in a Seattle Sounders side who was nowhere near that playoff line at the midway point, who did fire their coach and got to see a season turn around. Now, I think Bob Bradley can still turn around this season because of his resume, but you have to ask yourself at some point as well, what does Bob Bradley get out of this? Like, why does he want to continue down this road?
Now, I agree with what you just said. I believe he can do it because the other questions we have to ask ourselves is, okay, if Bob Bradley is not able to do it, then who is?
Right?
If you're going to fire someone, it means that you have a better option waiting his chance. Who's that manager? I don't think we have an answer for that. All right. In case you missed it, speaking of teams in a good streak, what about Inter Miami? Inter Miami again winning at home for the fourth game in a row. By the way, Rodolfo Pizarro is looking like the best version of himself, scoring twice. The smile is back. The Joker is back.
The Joker is back. He's looking like that talented player that brought him to Inter Miami.
Oh.
And what a time. Just named an MLS All-Star. Also, great timing because guess what's around the corner for
him? World Cup qualifiers?
There you go. What a time.
Good assist by Pipita Higuaín. And we'll see the reaction from David Beckham a little later on. This is a fantastic, fantastic play.
Keep an eye on Robbie Robinson, just called up by the Chilean national team.
Yes, sir.
Dual national alert! Dual national alert! Think
yes,
people
sir.
Are gonna go crazy.
And now look at this run by Pizarro. He looks fit. He looks fast. He's in good shape. Nice finish. And then I don't know if we'll see David Beckham's reaction, but he was fired up. Well, I think we'll take a look a little bit later on the show. Orlando City playing Inter Miami this Friday on ESPN and ESPN Deportes. Still part of Rivalry Week. But before that, Columbus Crew versus Cincinnati. Who's calling that game on ESPN Deportes, Kirk?
Is that us?
I think that's us.
We'll get to know.
All right. We'll be in the goal for that game.
I think.
Hercules Gomez just found out.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's here, ladies and gentlemen, MLS All-Star Game. Let's start with the not great news. André-Pierre Gignac, and now it's official to us today. Chicharito, Carlos Vela, they are out. Carlos Gil is also out. Buchanan is out, which is obviously a bummer because we're looking forward to Tuesday and Wednesday, Herc.
Yeah, everybody but Buchanan due to injury,
yeah.
Which makes me wonder, Buchanan, where's he at?
Yep.
He's gone. He's going to be sold. That's confirmation.
Good for him.
André-Pierre Gignac, Chicharito, Carlos Vela, and Gil. What is going on? Where are all the stars? Where are all the players at?
I told you during Ahora o Nunca on ESPN Deportes, Major League Soccer is still in good time to change the name of the game from MLS All-Stars to MLS Very Good Players versus Liga MX. Very good players, because star power is actually lacking from this game.
Wow, it's got to be the Liga MX versus MLS starring players.
starring
these players.
Exactly.
Because Major League Soccer used to be Mauricio. It used to be big in name. If anything, it was big in name. Not too long ago, you had Zlatan. Not too long ago, you had Frank Lampard. You had Andrea Pirlo. You had Thierry Henry.
Kaká.
The list would go on and on and on. And through its history, Yorkaev, Lothar Matthäus, it would go on and on. Global stars. And now all of a sudden, we're finding ourselves in a moment where's the star power? Where has it gone? And maybe that's a good thing. But for an MLS All-Star game that you're touting against Liga MX All-Stars, where are the Liga MX All-Stars? Where are the star power at this game? If I'm going to spend hundreds of dollars, because that's what ticket costs are, that's what it's going to cost if you want a ticket at the beautiful Bank of California Stadium, hundreds of dollars, who am I going to go see? Why should anybody outside of this market pay attention to the MLS All-Star game? Why would anybody in Europe get up for this? Who am I going to see?
So there's a... Major League Soccer is always big on making the game and making the league global, right? And we just saw the clips, many efforts by bringing the most important clubs in the world, Atletico de Madrid, Manchester United, Real Madrid, to play Major League Soccer All-Stars. Now, this is a different approach because it's also part of the business to be in this relationship with Liga MX. So we don't know if this is going to be a yearly thing, if every MLS All-Star game will also V versus Liga MX All-Star? We don't know that. But for now, we do have to ask ourselves these questions. Who are the stars for this game?
Well, if you're asking me to pick a star from one of the teams.
And we can go to the teams as well, okay. Right? Which team has the biggest star?
Biggest star is Nani. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest global star right now in this function, in this game. It's Nani. It's a player who doesn't play anymore for the Portuguese national team, who hasn't featured in a huge club in quite some time, but has history. Manchester United. So people around the globe will know who he is, even if they don't consider him this crazy global star. He's the closest thing to star power you have in this game.
So if I had asked you this question 5 years ago, even 3 years ago, yes, that would have been the right answer, and I would have agreed with you. But considering what Major League Soccer is looking for right now, considering the market that is in play right now, the biggest star is Memo Ochoa. Has to be Francisco Guillermo Ochoa.
Wait a second. Are you telling me Memo Ochoa is a bigger star than Nani?
So I'll tell you this. 25,000 fans at Banc of California Stadium, the most recognizable face during the game is Guillermo Ochoa. And if Guillermo Ochoa and Nani face each other, I don't know, PK or something like that, more people will know who Memo Ochoa is than Nani. I can assure you that.
Who outside of this market's gonna get up to see Memo Ochoa?
I don't know, but that's exactly why I'm saying for this specific game, where it's very clear that priority number one is the relationship, Major League Soccer, Liga MX, is the biggest star, is Memo Ochoa.
You could be right on that. Here's my issue with if that's true. If that's true, you've created this all-star game and you've made it niche. You made something that's already niche even more niche.
That's actually accurate,
so,
yes.
So that's a terrible way about going and trying to expand your global brand, which it just sends a confusing message if you're Major League Soccer, which I'm sure they're used to because, as you know, there's now this MLS All-Star rule with
right.
these players. So.
Right. It is a shame that we're not going to see Chicharito, Carlos Vela, André Pierre Gignac, Liga MX. But considering what you said, there is a rule, right? It's not, I don't know if it's going to be enforced or not now that they are officially out, but we have El Tráfico coming up. And Galaxy lost at home. LAFC, as we just mentioned, on a very bad streak. So both managers will want their players to be available, but they're not going to be available for the
okay, let's explain.
All-Star
let's
game.
Explain the rule. It came into attention recently with Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, 2018.
Zlatan didn't want to play on turf. He misses the All-Star game. They penalize him, and he doesn't play against Colorado the very next game. They end up losing. Zlatan actually had this to say. People are interested in different things. They lose on it. They said they lose on it. And for me, it doesn't matter. So he's talking about people are interested in different things. The priority for Major League Soccer right here is these players, we need to sell this with these players. If they don't want to help us sell, they're not going to play the next game. Unfortunately, guess what the next game is? It's El Tráfico.
Exactly.
Javier Hernández, who's been battling the clock, battling injury for the last 2+ months, is now in a fight against time to try to get healthy for that game. Carlos Vela comes out injured in the 16th minute. Now he's a fight against time for that game. The two biggest stars the league has, the two biggest stars this rivalry has, a marquee rivalry in this league, will now not play because of this very dumb rule.
I was just trying to make a quick memory exercise, and I don't know if they have faced each other at any of El Tráfico, because last year during the tournament in Orlando, Carlos Vela was not a part of that, and then Chicharito got hurt, and now this season when they faced each other, they were also hurt. So Chicharito, I think he's been a part of just one game.
He scored on that one, yes.
Right? And they are the two biggest stars, especially for this market. So again, we'll have to see what the league does in terms of enforcing, which, by the way, Greg Vanney was very vocal last Thursday, saying it would be hard to understand if his player, who hasn't been available for the past 10 league games, was actually made available for the All-Star game. We already know That's not going to be the case.
I imagine we won't see Carlos Vela nor Chicharito Hernandez part of these festivities and the skills challenge and part of the game. They won't be there to try to help you sell the league. I'm sure that's not going to be the case if you're going to penalize them that way, right?
I'm guessing. I'm guessing that's not going to be the case. But in any case, we're going to have to wait and see. All right, and we now welcome Tigres goalkeeper Nahuel Guzman. ¿Qué te pareció? Nahuel Guzman with us on Football America's Herd. Plenty to talk about with him.
Yeah, we're going to do this. You're going to ask the questions in Spanish.
Yes, sir.
I will quickly, John Sutcliffe style,
translate
in English. So can you ask him? This game's got a lot of attention grabbing right now. What will this MLS All-Star versus Liga MX game prove?
Ok, Nahuel, te pregunto, Hércules, ¿qué va a probar dentro de la rivalidad que hay este juego entre Liga MX y Estrellas de la MLS? Bienvenido, welcome to the show.
Buenas tardes ahí para todos, un placer poder estar, poder compartir y poder ser parte de este gran y hermoso evento. Bueno, me da la sensación que más allá de lo que refleja y lo que representa la competencia en sí misma, es un evento muy integrador, es un evento que fomenta la integración entre dos de las ligas que más crecimiento han tenido en el último tiempo, y seguramente eso se verá reflejado en el encuentro del miércoles. Es muy valioso poder estar acá en lo personal y creo que hay mucho material para que sea un espectáculo, un lindo espectáculo en lo deportivo y en todo lo que representa el entorno. Así que, bueno, en lo personal obviamente estoy orgulloso de ser parte, pero va a ser una linda competencia, una linda rivalidad.
You know, he says that and personally he's very proud to be part of this. Sporting-wise, it's going to be a very nice competition for both and a continued building relationship of what is the two leagues. You know, Mau, I've always wondered, he's such a good goalkeeper, and he's a goalkeeper that always captivates people.
Yep.
We need people like that, figures like that in Major League Soccer. Does he see himself playing in Major League Soccer in the future? And if so, where?
Eres una estrella, eres un arquero que cautiva, tienes mucha personalidad. Es algo de lo que pelea Major League Soccer por tener. ¿Te ves jugando en algún punto de tu carrera en la MLS?
Bueno, muchas gracias por la invitación. Cuando quieran. Todavía estoy muy vigente, así que... la verdad que es una liga que, a ver, no es que lo diga yo, en el último tiempo ha tentado a muchísimos jugadores venir a la MLS. Entonces, no es algo nuevo, no es algo que yo vaya a descubrir. Y si hay algo que atrae también, me ha tocado entrenar y estar en varios centros de entrenamientos y la verdad que ha crecido mucho en ese aspecto también, ha crecido muchísimo en lo estructural. Así que tengo muchos amigos jugando acá y sería lindo, la verdad, realmente sería una linda experiencia en lo profesional, en lo familiar, creo que es una liga que promete muchísimo crecimiento de cara al futuro también.
Well, Noel says thanks for the invitation. He's obviously it's a very enticing league, not only for him personally, but for many other players. He says personally, in the last few days, he's been able to train in the facility, something that he's been blown away by. And he said for him personally and competitively, it'd be something very beautiful in his career. He also mentions what the league has grown and how it continues to grow. You know, Mau, he's one of the few players that's been coached by legendary coaches in Mexican League Soccer, especially in our era, El Tuca Ferretti and Miguel Herrera. Can you ask him, what's the biggest difference in being coached by these two?
Por supuesto. Aquí viene la pregunta difícil, cortesía de Hércules Gómez, Nahuel Guzmán. Tú has sido dirigido por o entrenado por dos leyendas e instituciones del fútbol mexicano, muchos años con El Tuca Ferretti y ahora Miguel Herrera. Si pudieras apuntar a una diferencia entre El Tuca Ferretti y Miguel Herrera, ¿cuál sería?
Me voy a orientar la respuesta tal vez a lo específicamente futbolístico y creo que tiene que ver con un aspecto tal vez más ofensivo o más profundo de Miguel Herrera en cuanto a la llegada al arco rival. La propuesta que a la que nos invitó él desde el minuto cero, desde que llegó a Tigres, es tal vez intentar ser más profundo, intentar que los pases entre líneas tengan sentido de ataque, o sea, sean realmente ofensivos, recibir a espalda de volantes para encarar directamente la última línea. Tal vez a diferencia del estilo que nos dio muchísimo resultado con Tuca, uh-huh, de circular más el balón, de ser dueños de la pelota, de tener la posesión. Bueno, en este caso Miguel nos invita a esta propuesta, lo estamos trabajando, creo que lo vamos realizando a medida que va pasando el tiempo, cada vez mejor. Así que me oriento por ese lado. Ojalá nos traiga los mismos resultados que nos dio el trabajo con Tuca.
You know, he talks about them trying to be more vertical, trying to be more attack oriented, and when the other Tuca is more of a possession based coach. It's very valuable right there. Very quickly, we got to go. So we just got to find out,
yeah,
who's going to win.
Okay.
Is it going to be Major League Soccer or is it going to be Liga MX?
Nos quedan 10 segundos, Nahuel. ¿Quién gana? Pronóstico. ¿Quién va a ganar? ¿Liga MX o MLS?
Liga MX, wow. Para eso vinimos, wow. Vinimos a ganar.
That's why we're here, he said. We came to win.
Nahuel Guzmán, thank you very much, my friend. Disfruta tus días aquí en Los
Saludos,
Ángeles y los Juegos.
Hermano.
Gracias.
Muchas gracias. Nos vemos cuando venga la MLS.
Eso es todo. Thank you, Nahuel Guzmán, for joining us on Football Americas. All right, and the action continues. What a game. Seattle Sounders versus Portland Timbers.
Again? They want some more?
How many goals are we going to see during this match? Find out Sunday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Also en Español, en ESPN Deportes. Portland Thorns playing Olympique Lyon. Women's International Champions Cup. Morgan Weaver had 5 minutes coming up the bench and scoring the goal winner for Portland.
That's what you call an impact sub, Mauricio. Don't let this ball bounce, defender. Good little
nice control.
Redirection here. Nice little control. Keeper kind of caught in no man's land. This touch is vital. It's critical, and it sets up the goal. Good finish.
Yeah, they're on a roll. Third straight trophy for the team.
Merritt Paulson and the Portland Thorns, they got something special going on.
Yeah. And Olympique Lyon is one of the best teams in the world, by the way. Oh, by the way. Congratulations, Portland Thorns, and another very well-earned victory. News coming out of Austin City Football Club. They have a new coach. Angel City.
LA, buddy.
Sorry, man. It's just the A confuses me. Well, they have a new coach, and they have hurt their first player.
What a player.
Oh, yeah, Christy Pretz, there's an announcement. It's a trade with Racing Louisville, and when you want to make an impact, right, as a new team around, that's exactly what you do.
Christian Press is one of the better U.S. women's national team players around. 32 years old, already a two-time World Cup winner, two-time Olympian, and coming back home to our hometown of L.A.
That's right. Angel City Football Club. Let's go to our top 10, Herc. And what a way to start off our top 10. Look at this goal.
This is Ashley Harris. Look at this little finish right here. It's left foot in, cuts her up, and then boom!
Wow.
Drops a bomb on the goalkeeper. Nothing the goalkeeper can do. Throw a glove at it if you want. You're not reaching that. You're not catching that. Can't touch it.
Like shaking off the defender, and then an amazing finish. Yes, to the squirt. Number 9, Albert Rusnak. Albert Rusnak, by the way, played in the Euros recently, and look at this finish. Wow.
This is difficult for a forward to have to come back on it. So he holds his run, comes back to it, and then unleashes it. William Yarbrough, who's having a very good season, nothing he can do about this one. Rusnak with the goal.
Number 8, Yuki Nagasato. Look at what the production gave us. Scoring a la Cuauhtémoc Blanco, launching feet first in a very complicated maneuver to the finish.
Well,
versus Bayern Munich, by the way.
She gets a very awkward finish on this. It's like an in-step finish and puts it in the off the crossbar and in. She's even surprised by it, but it's a golazo.
Do you remember Cuauhtémoc's goal versus Belgium?
I do, but that was outside the foot, right?
Yep. Adam Buxa goes to the ground, no problem, recovers himself, and then the small dribble and a good finish.
This is the rope-a-dope, like I'm hurt. I'm on the ground. Whoa. Nope, look, whoa, they stop. And whoa, in between two players, nice little drag across the defender. Look at this, drags it with the left, in with the right, and then just a simple finish.
That was filthy. Adam Buxa, number 7, our top 10, Football America's number 6, Robbie Robinson. You mentioned him before. Great display, speed, control, attracts the defender. Goodbye.
Number 1 draft pick in Inter Miami history. And now he's going to be called up by Chile for the World Cup qualifiers. Comes out of nowhere, and we have another dual national situation. What he will do, I do not know. What Greg Berhalter will do, that is your guess, but a player to keep an eye on.
Omar Gonzalez still looking for Robbie Robinson. Number 5, Ashley Sanchez. Shaking up the defender, and to the square.
It's a dirty finish.
I like the celebration, by the way.
Look at the touch. And it comes in, boom, left foot, and then right foot, boom, in between. What are you going to do? Can't do anything for the keeper.
How many goals did you score from outside the box?
Quite a few.
Yeah?
Never looking stylish like this, though. Like, he hits it with some force.
Yeah, that's why I asked the question. I don't remember. And I watched every single goal you scored,
by the way. Well, you should know
that. Every single one.
Well, okay.
All the 3 goals you scored. Quinn Sullivan. He only scores golazos, Herc.
He only scores bangers. 17-year-old Quinn Sullivan. Is he still 17? I don't know. A month ago he was, and a month ago he drops a bicycle kick in his debut. Now it's just a banger. Like, what do you do if you're the goalkeeper? He literally didn't even dive. He gave it the eyes. Give him the eyes. Give him the eyes.
No, you clap. I mean, you gotta stop doing what you do and just congratulating your rival and scoring an amazing goal. That's what you do. Number 3. And here we go. Rodolfo Pizarro. He's back, man. He is back.
It looks easy, right? But it's subtle. Look at the touch he gives the defender. Look at the subtle little touch he gives the defender. David likes it.
Look at
Bex. Bex likes it. And then, boom. Nice little chip. But it's the control. It's the control. He brings it down. Since you can't do anything about it, goalkeeper comes out. Let me just chip you. It's my second of the night. And the Joker está feliz.
So are Neville and Pizarro friends again?
I don't say that.
I mean, he'd be my friend if I was his manager and he scored like that. Lucho Solignac. Oh, what is that?
What?
Wow. Is this number 2,
Paso,
by the way?
El is this number 2? What is this? A la Zlatan, a la Giroud, a la Bakil, a la, look, a no-looker. He gave him the no-look. This is dirty.
Oh, man, this is sorcery. What a finish. And this was number 2 because number 1 is this, Jacqueline Garcia. Look at the bicycle kick. Long cross and then the celebration a la Cristiano Ronaldo. That was a thing of beauty, Herc.
No. That's lo que le sigue of beauty. That's like the next level of beauty. That is a ridiculous finish.
Wow, this was a fantastic top 10. Parting shot. Major League Soccer Players Association announcing a partnership with Konami eFootball. Players will appear in the licensed video game franchise. I was actually the other day around the Konami studios. They're amazing. They're fantastic. Look at Jonah posing for his player image.
If you don't know what eFootball is, it's formerly PES.
Exactly.
That's Pro Evolution Soccer. You've all played this game.
The artist formerly known as...
This is where you couldn't find Juventus because it was Torino. Now you're going to have the actual MLS players in this game. I hope they got compensated. I hope my guys got compensated.
Oh, they did. They did. This player association. How many times did you play with your own character?
I wasn't big. I was more on the training field. I wasn't big on playing video games. And when I did, I played Halo.
All right. On Thursday, we will have an extensive El Tráfico preview. Is Sebastián Salazar back?
Yeah. We got to cover what happened.
Because I'm on vacation, so I know who's joining you.
Don't lose too much money in Las Vegas.
I will try not to. Thank you for joining us. Remember, the podcast and all available platforms, Football Americas. You can find us anywhere, and you find us every Monday and Thursday here on ESPN Plus. For Hercule Gomez, Mauricio Pedrosa, the whole crew, it's been a pleasure.
I'll see you at All-Stars.
That's right. Herc will be there because he's an All-Star. our All-Star right here on Football America.
Alberto Carlos.